We do not like to be separated as people. We do not like to be separated from one another. We long for connection, connection to neighbors, to friends, to family, to loved ones, to co-workers. We hate and we feel the suffering when we are separated from loved ones, co-workers, from friends and family. Separation is part and parcel to suffering. And yet, even though we know how much it hurts, we all have places of separation in our lives. Memories of feelings or of actions or of thoughts that isolate us from one another. Places of estrangement. The memory that exists deep down in your soul and in your gut, that memory of a feeling or something that you've done that you never want to expose to anyone. Things that we believe are untouchable. They're just that bad. No one could ever know. Not even our closest friends or relatives. These are the pains that when they bubble up, we flee from conversation. We flee from people. For some of us, it even makes us just go right to sleep. When you get that immense feeling of agony that, oh no, I'm going to be exposed. It's memories that create the deathbed confessions that we hear about. Or for others, we know that we might just go to our grave with these secrets. These secrets are that powerful. These moments that we have in our souls are that visceral that we're so scared of them because they separate us. We feel as if they'll separate us from everything that we know and love. So what causes these moments? What's the root cause of these moments? Because they're all, they're universal. They look different in every person. But everybody has a secret or some place deep inside of their soul that they know that if it was ever to come to light, it would create some separation from what they love and know. The root of most of these are either sin, both our own sin or maybe the sins of others that have been afflicted on us, and the evils of the world. This evil world, this unmerciful world that's full of disease and these maladies that just occur out of nowhere. Let's look at our own sins. Many of us just have things that we just cannot share with anyone. Thoughts or actions that are so dark that we believe it would bring shame upon ourselves and ultimately separate us from our friends and family. In other words, it would be embarrassing. Or to put in the 21st century context, imagine if your full web browser history was on display all the time. Every thought that you ever had on display. Or maybe we've been complicit in another's sin. Or felt that dark grip of retribution because of a sin against us. And so we entered into a tit-for-tat battle because of another's trespasses. These then become the things that are done and left undone, that are so sensitive that we have an emotional reaction when they begin to bubble up. We run. Our faces become flush. The knots in the stomachs begin to twist. And we just hide from these lightning rods. The reason they're so powerful is that underneath the actual memory of these actions or these feelings is these sufferings that we believe are ours to bear. In other words, what's underneath this is that we think, that's just what I've got to bear in my life. It's my mistake. I did it, and I must just live with it forever. Live with these wounds and these transgressions. In other words, that these things are unforgivable, even to God. This is what's operative in our unconscious. We just think we can't let go of them. We got to keep them balled up. It's our fault. So even though they're unforgivable in our minds, they become unforgettable to us. And then they separate our wounded self from the world. And then this extends to God. And then we don't even let God into those moments. God becomes off limits. We fence them around. We cannot give voice to them, even to God. We think He doesn't want to hear it. That we're not worthy. Or somehow we can't tell God that thing. We can tell Him the other 99, but not that one. And what we're talking about tonight is that one. That one thing that you may never have uttered in your life. Now, the other visceral place of pain and suffering in our lives comes at the hand of a very cruel world that is unfair, where innocent people get harmed and the guilty get away free. It's a world that has disease and affliction and forces that separate us from one another. A world where death exists, that final separation in our earthly sense. A friend relayed to me a harrowing story of just how cruel the world can be. His neighbor's older brother was visiting from upstate Vermont down to North Carolina, and after the 14-hour drive, he wearily got out of his Toyota Camry and began to walk into the house to be reunited with his brother. And he noticed that he had forgotten to put the emergency brake on, and his brother lived on a hill. He saw the Camry begin to go down the hill. He immediately ran over and put his right foot in to try to find the brake, and as his hand grabbed the steering wheel, his left leg was caught under the tire. And he was pulled out, and he was killed. He was killed. The world spins continuously in an unmerciful fashion. Its pain never ceases. Its grip on us never lets go. These areas of pain are so visceral in our lives because they separate us from one another, both physically and mentally. And these become then the pains where we feel God's absence the most. Because why would He let that happen? Why did this happen? Why is there evil and disease in the world? Pain and suffering was on full display earlier this week in those harrowing images that were coming out of France of Notre Dame Cathedral. It's that beautiful building where billions of Christians have worshipped over the years was up in flames. I couldn't help but think about all the people, myself included, that have taken that risk of putting the coin in the votive box and lit a candle and maybe just uttered part of what bothers you. Maybe just cried a little bit of help to God. A cry of woe, or maybe a cry of why. Maybe just let God see a glimpse of that thing that you feel will separate you from Him. As those sacred walls burned, it calls attention to another horrific scene. This one almost 2,000 years ago. and took place on a hill. When a teacher was betrayed by his friends, he was denied by the very people that followed him. The very people that he healed and saved turned against him. A teacher that was blameless, but yet took on the entire sin of the world. Who was innocent, but became guilty. And was beaten and flogged and lifted high upon the cross as each of his hands were hammered into the wood by nails, ripping the flesh off his hands, shattering the bones and the muscles in his hands. And then, as Jesus hung there, his lungs began to labor under his own weight. His own weight began to suffocate him as he died in the most gruesome manner possible, slowly, little breath after little breath, humiliated on the cross. And as Jesus began to die, and was breathing his last, where he would be separated from the world, he ushers one last cry. One last cry. That famous cry of dereliction from the psalm we read tonight. Dereliction is abandonment. And as our Lord Jesus began to lose consciousness and slip into death, he cried out to God from deep within his soul. A full body cry that erupts from a deathbed or a Notre Dame cathedral or in a therapist's office. That cry that says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus felt the full separation and cruelty of sin and death. The visceral power of those things that we believe separate us from God, he too felt that separation from his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he died.